right. Let us turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 as we continue along in the Believer's Handbook. As you know, this is what I call it, is the Believer's Handbook, because the a handbook is just it's a little book. I don't know if you're all familiar with, if you ever read Haley's Bible Handbook. But what it is it just brings out different points in the, it's not a comprehensive commentary, but what it is just a little reminder of things, you know, like you're going through, first chapter says this, and these are the highlights, and the second chapter says this, and these are the highlights. This book here is about the same thing, except John gets it a little more concentrated. He's focusing in on what is important. What is important is that we love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. This is how we can call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, if we keep His commandments. And we're going to keep going over that over and over again, as John does here, to define what is he talking about, these commandments that he's talking about. What does it really look like? Now, there's a lot of people that say, hey, you know, I know God. But you look at their life and it's totally contrasted with what we see in the Scriptures. Sadly, a lot of Christians don't understand what the Word of God is all about. They think it's a bunch of rules and regulations and things that, you know, have to be adhered to. Well, I'd have to say yes and no. You know, and this is one of those times that, yes, it is. Everything in the Scripture comes from Jesus Christ. He wrote the Word. The Word is all about Him. He says, lo, in the volume of the book. In other words, the entire book is written of me. I not only wrote it, but it's about me. And here I am, and you didn't recognize me. Why didn't they recognize? Because they didn't understand the Scriptures. Now, these Pharisees, they studied the Scriptures 7 hours every day. And they looked into these things, but they did it with the natural mind, not with the spiritual mind. And so, let us petition the Holy Spirit now as we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You sent Your Spirit that would lead us into all truth. We thank You that, Lord, You are the great God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And that You have sent Your Son and given us provision to be able to spend eternity with You by the cross. It's that precious cross that we look to. Oh Lord, it seems to the world like a morbid thing to look at. But Lord, that rugged cross, the one in which You hung, You took my sin and You put it out of the way. You died in my place that I might live. Oh Lord, You rose from the dead to prove that this is the sacrifice that the Father would accept. And Lord, we believe that. And as we believe that, Lord, we have entered into new life. So I pray by Your Spirit, Father, that You would lead us and guide us in that new life as we put aside the things of this world. Lord, give us the understanding that we need as we study the Scriptures to show ourselves approved unto You, that we are Yours and that You are ours. Give us that confidence, the assurance of our salvation. Oh, Father, thank You. We ask, Lord, that You would open our understanding as we look into Your Word, and Lord, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, John, again, he starts off this chapter, you know, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. This is kind of like the theme of this particular section, that you sin not. Now, we know, if we're honest with ourselves, that we sin. Now, this is a great thing to understand because, you know, like further on in the book, he's going to say, you know, like if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have ceased from sin. That you no longer do the things of the flesh. And that's what sin is, really. Doing anything other than the will of God. Anything that has to do with this world, this flesh, the things that we're involved in, this is not of the Lord. The Lord wants us, as He had said in the second commandment, as we go through and look at these things, that, you know, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not come before me. Now, this is us in our minds. If we're not focused and centered upon the Lord, if we're focused and centered upon the things of this world, then we're not loving God with all of our hearts. And as I'm fond of saying, all means
all.
And that seems kind of like, well, that's kind of a, that's a heavy-duty thing. That's hard to swallow. But you see, as we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we understand, we come to understand the reality. The reality is that God created the heavens and the earth, and this earth is going to come to an end. We know that our lives are going to come to an end. Let us not fool ourselves. The end of our lives is at hand. The end of the life that we know it today is at hand. And so we need to look for that coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be by the end of this world, or the end of our lives, or what about the end of the situation that we find ourselves in? You see, a lot of times, you know, Christians find themselves to be in great tribulation so that God will hear from you. You know, when things are going well and, you know, we praise God, well, thank you, Lord, for all of these things. But this is a dangerous time in our lives because now we're distracted by the things of this world. We have nothing to come before the Lord with because everything is going so well. And so other things start to creep in. I tell you, I need your prayers most desperately, especially on Saturday night. Saturday night is when the time that I spend in study and prayer. And let me tell you, folks, the distractions that come on Saturday are just horrendous. You know, whenever I think about it, and you guys know this to be true, when you get into, man, I want to spend some time in the Word, I want to just study, what happens? Man, your mind's all of these things, you know, things that happened 20 years, well, maybe not for all of you, but things that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, they start to flood in your mind. Oh, if I had only done that differently. Or, you know, what? Wait a minute. No. I wanted to get into the Word. I'm starting to read the Word here, and, you know, and as I start to, you know, to piece a sermon together or whatever, it's just kind of like, well, you know, it's been 20 minutes, and what have I been thinking about? That stupid football game? You know, you know, something that's as trivial as that. But think about the precious, precious time that the Lord has given you. Every moment of every day is a gift from the Lord. He wants you to use it wisely. He wants you to use it for the things that matter. And what matters is the kingdom to come. That which the Lord is going to rule and reign, not just for 1,000 years, but forever and ever and ever. That's our inheritance. That's our right. Because we are the sons of God. And so he says, as we pick it up in verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected or completed. Hereby know we that we are in him." We know that we are in him if his love is completed in us. And we're going to talk a whole lot about this love, this agape love. This word in the Greek means the love of God toward man. That's what agape love is. And we can only get that love by having fellowship with him, by having communion with him. So as we get into his word, we're keeping his word. We're keeping his word close to our hearts. That's what it is. We're drawing the word into our mind, saturating ourselves with his word so that we know what things not to do. We know that we're not supposed to steal, I hope. We know that we're not supposed to lie. We know we're not supposed to be greedy of the things of this world, whether it be power or wealth or any of those things, because we know that this world is passing away. So we know that these are not things that we should be involved in permeating our mind with. But it's the love of God, and the love of God is shown forth by loving our neighbor. Loving the brethren more specifically. Loving the people in the fellowship. The people of the body of Christ. This is how we know that we love God, when we love one another. That's how it works out. And we're assured, man, I do love the brethren. I'm praying for the brethren. I'm encouraging the brethren. Now, think in yourselves. You know, a lot of us, we've been, you know, maybe raised in a liturgical kind of a setting when we were younger. And we go to church on Sunday because it's expected of us to go to church on Sunday. This is what we do. And it's kind of a mechanical kind of a thing. Well, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. And, you know, I got to listen to this guy talk for, you know, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, depending on how much he's, you know, rambles on. You know, and then after that, then we'll yak and yak a little bit, and then we head on out to lunch or, you know, whatever it is that we had planned for today. Is this the heart that you have for this? Or is our heart more, man, I can't wait to get to church because I want to encourage somebody in the Lord. Somebody, I think, needs to be encouraged. And we pray on the way to church, Lord, you know, let me speak to that person that needs to be encouraged. And give me the words to say right from your heart into their ears. Use me today to be an ambassador of your peace so that I might just shine forth your love. Not for my own glory, but that they might be encouraged. Because this is the duty of every believer. To come into the fellowship to encourage one another. There is no other way. We do not come to church to meet with God. Did he just say that out loud? God has always been with you. He's never left you. He said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. We bring the Lord with us into church. And how is that possible? How can we bring God into here? By forgetting about ourselves, magnifying the Lord, and worshiping him. That's the way it's done. And if we are worshiping him, if we are truly worshiping him, it will come out as encouragement to the believer. We will love the believer. He says, he that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He being Jesus. If we say that we are in him, then we're going to walk like he did. Now, Jesus did not sin. Are we sinning? Are we giving place in our lives for sin to fester? And I say fester because it's like an open sore. And you stop and think of it. Have you ever had a blister or, how should we say it, maybe a boil? Oh, boils are nasty. You'd be plagued with them all the time. It's a defect or something that I have. But I would get boils, and man, they were painful. And man, it was just like, it was the nastiest all I could think about. And that's what sin is like. If you allow sin to get into your flesh, into your mind, that's all you're going to be able to think about. When you close your eyes in trying to praise and worship God or to pray, man, those images are going to be right there. And man, they're going to distract you and you're just going to grieve. Going, oh Lord, can you cleanse these things out? We sow to the flesh and then we pray for a crop failure. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be turning yourself away from those things. You know in your mind what it is that plagues you. You know what it is that you need to stay away from when those thoughts come into your mind. Take every thought captive and lay it before the feet of the Lord. If it's sin, then let him deal with it. But you're laying it down. Lord, I know this is sin. I know you don't want me to dwell on these things. I know that I need to confess these things and turn away from those things. Lord, I am weak. My flesh is weak. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. And I'm drawn into these things. And he knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. He created us. We're not hiding anything from him. When we try to hide those things that are within us, we walk in darkness. But the darkness and the light are the same to the Lord. He can see in the light. He can see in the darkness. And those things that we hide. You know, if you could make a list. This is kind of an interesting thing. Make a list. Make a list of all of the things that you want known about yourself. Make that list. And then make on the other side those things that you're ashamed of. Okay? Now, hopefully the list that you want people to know about is longer than the list that you're ashamed of. But I'll tell you what, if you're honest with yourself, there will be a few things on that darkness list. And those are the things that the Lord wants to deal with in your life, to bring you closer to him. You see, we can only go so far in our Christian walk, but we have to be obedient to move forward. Well, we can accept the Lord, and that's great. You know, that is the greatest thing. That's the commandment that he tells us, man. We need to accept the Lord for what he has done, and he has taken away our sins. Excellent. But now we need to walk in love. What's that about? That means taking those things of darkness and laying them aside because we're now in the light, not in the darkness. And we walk in the light, not in the darkness. And we know what those darkness things is. The commandments tell us what those darkness is. And if we keep those things in the forefront of our minds, we will know what to stay away from. That's the purpose of those things. when we see that we're doing those things that the law says not to, we come before the Lord, and Lord, this is an area of my life that I need to surrender to you. It's not a condemnation thing. If you're being condemned, that's the other guy. If you're being drawn to the Lord in forgiveness, then that's the Holy Spirit. And you can rejoice that you're being drawn, that you're being convicted of that sin and drawn to the Lord for forgiveness. Because then you know, you can have a surety that you are one of His. Man, that's the greatest thing in my mind. So we need to walk as Jesus walked, in constant communion and fellowship with the Lord. That's what He did. That was the example that He set. And we too can do that. Because we have been born again. We have that spiritual unction for that we can go before the Father at any time. Come boldly before the throne of grace and receive the help that you need in time of weakness. In times of struggle. Come before the Lord. Come, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, the Lord would say, and I will give you rest. Are you struggling with those things? Take my burden. Take my yoke upon you. Let me take yours off and you put mine on. You see? Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We struggle against things that we're not supposed to struggle against. We're trying to clean ourselves up to make us worthy of the... That's works, folks. That's works. Let Him do the work. He is the author and the finisher. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Finisher.
I just said it for the tape. I didn't make sure that people... The finisher. We are the yielders. We're the ones that lay our lives down and allow the Lord to take that life and make something beautiful out of it. Oh, praise Him for that. But we still have work to do. We are still in that spiritual warfare where we keep our minds sharp by getting into the Word of God and fellowshipping with other believers and iron sharpening iron on Wednesday night. That's what I'm trying to encourage people to read ahead. See what the Lord would have you to share at this time. You know, it's kind of, we sit around a round table, maybe two or three round tables, and we just, you know, we go over the Scripture. Okay, this is the Scripture. Have you read it? What did the Lord speak to you about it? You know, it's a spiritual exercise. The Lord showed me this when I read this. And that's what iron sharpening iron is. Believers sharpening believers. And you know what? You may come to discover that the Lord has called you into a task as you're reading His Word. Maybe this is how I encourage the believers, by reciting the Word. Just the Word that I've ingested, I'm going to share with somebody. That's exactly what it is. Because when you speak the Word, when you speak Scripture, you're speaking the words of Christ. And the words of Christ have life. And they give life. And they create life. And they draw people to the light. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Oh, I'm sorry. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. Which ye had from the beginning, the old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, the word that he heard, you're going to see, he's going to really bring this out in 1 John 3:23, and he says, and this is the commandment, and that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. This is the commandment, but we need to start at the beginning. The not new commandment is this, that you've already taken. You already know that this is the command, that you need to believe in Jesus Christ, that He suffered and died for your sins. But there's something else that you need to believe about Jesus Christ. And the Bible brings this all out, but as new believers, you may not know this. And that is that He was God. God took on flesh and dwelt among us. God took on flesh and dwelt among us. He came, left the glory of heaven, and took on the form of a servant. Us, like us. so that he could identify with us. But not only that, but so he could fulfill the command that he had, or the statutes that he laid down, that only a kinsman could redeem another kinsman. It had to be a near kinsman. And he took on flesh, became human, so that he would be our kinsman redeemer. So that he would be like us. He suffered as we suffer. He was tempted in all points as we are. Let that sink in just for a second. He was tempted in all points. And all means, now run it through your mind. What things are you tempted with? You know, you think, oh no, the Lord would never have been tempted with that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. In all points. That's what all means. All means all. And he was tempted in like manner as we are tempted. He's acquainted with our frailties. He's acquainted with the things that we feel. He's acquainted with all of the temptations that we face on a moment-by-moment basis. And yes, folks, it's moment-by-moment. We have to be on guard every single moment of every single day. We let our guard down for just 1 second, and the enemy's going to be in like a flood. We must be spiritually aware of our situations at all times. Now, the situations in our fleshly world, you know, they're going to come and go. They're going to rise and fall, ebb and tide, you know, that kind of a thing. But the spiritual warfare is a constant. We let our shield down one little bit, and the enemy's going to be in there. And what's he going to attack? He's going to attack the mind. And if we go through Ephesians, we're going to see that there's a spiritual armor that we're supposed to put on every day. So I encourage you, memorize those things. Put that armor on every single day. Make sure that you have it on every single day. Make sure that you have that shield of faith. To what? To quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And it's a constant barrage. I can see just like a Gatling gun. Bah, 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 and they just keep them coming, coming. And if we let our guard down, one is going to get inside. It's going to derail us. It's not going to kill us, but it's going to stop us for 1 second about our fellowship with the Father. You see, that didn't happen to Jesus. He was our example. It happens to us. He knows it happens to us. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He puts that little caveat in there as well. If we say that we have no sin, then we make Him a liar, because He tells us that we are sinners. We are sinners. Need to be reminded of that. Now again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And the new commandment. If we go to John 13, 34 and 35, we've seen that before. A new commandment I give unto you. This is Jesus speaking. A new commandment. In other words, it's basically an old commandment, but I'm rehearsing it to you. I'm refreshing it. And that's what new kind of means sometimes, is a refreshing. And don't we need refreshing? Don't we need to be reminded over and over and over again what it is that we're supposed to be? It gets lost, doesn't it? You take on a new job. This is your job title. And this is the job description that you take. And then after about 6 or 7 months into it, you realize, you know what? I'm not doing the job that I was hired for. I'm doing something else altogether now. You know, what's going on here? We need to be reminded of what our job title really is. And that is servant of the Most High God. We are servants of the Most High God. That is our job title. Slave would probably be a better word. I think the, you know, I've heard it called under rowers. You know, in a Roman galleon, they'd have the slaves in the bottom of the ship, and they were, you know, on the oars. I don't know if you ever saw Ben-Hur or not. You know, it's kind of a cool movie. He's sitting there, and he's a rower. Well, they would have, on some of these ships, they would have two and three rows of rowers. You'd have the upper and the middle and the lower. What we are under rowers, you know. Now, and I'll let your mind play with all of the connotations of that and things falling downhill and all that. But the idea is that we are the slaves of the Most High God. And we have made ourselves such because we love Him. And a beautiful typology in there is, in the Scriptures, the Lord says that, hey, if you take on a Jewish slave, he is to serve you for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, he is to go free. He's to go free. If he came in with a wife and children, then he's to go out with his wife and children. But if he's taken on a wife and children while he's your slave, then he can go free, but his wife and kids are yours. But if that servant says, you know what, I love my wife and my kids and I love my master, I am going to stay with him forever. And he became a bond slave. And you hear Paul talk about this. I am a bond slave. And what that is what they would do is that in the witness of the elder, they would take you to the doorpost of the master's house. They would take an awl and they would stick you through your ear onto the doorpost. In other words, fastening you on to that house, and you would be forever attached to that house. And we have done that same very thing. We have become bond slaves, willing slaves to Jesus Christ and the house of the Lord. And then, as he says that, if it's that, that's not enough. He says, you are my servants. I'm your master and you are my servants. This is true, but not anymore. Because you do the things that I command you, I'm now going to call you my friends. And some people, they take that a little too far, I think. They forget about who Jesus really is. Jesus is God. He is the King of the universe. And just because he calls you friend, you know, we tend to, you know, when you got a friend, you joke around with them, right? You know, you play little silly pranks and stuff like that. Not so with the Lord. He is still the Lord. And sometimes people get a little cavalier with that. And it gives a little bad taste in people's mouth. Well, oh yeah, he's my homeboy. He's the man upstairs or, any another kid. No, he is Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King of the universe. That should spark some kind of fear in your mind. Because when he comes back, he's going to rule and reign. And all things are going to be put under his feet. And what you don't want to hear is that, depart from me. I never knew you. It's like your boss. Your boss can come up and he can joke all you want. But you start joking with your boss, he's going to start looking at you. You crossed the line, pal. But I didn't know there was a line. I thought you were my friend. I'm your boss, pal. Okay? You're going to treat me with a little bit of respect or you're going to be unemployed. You see, that's how it works. You know? Not that the Lord is going to kick us out, but we need to keep in our minds who we are and who He is. Okay? He is our master. Regardless of what He calls us. He calls us friend, and I'm grateful for that, but he's still my Lord. He's still my master. I still am obedient to what he calls me to do. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is my command to you, that you love one another. Now, when we talk about, what does love look like? What does that kind of love look like? Well, Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Oh, that's cool. We've gone through that, right? The Lord has forgiven us of all of our sins. That was the first thing that that's what attracted us. Man, I was my sin was weighing heavy on me, and the Lord forgave me for that sin. Just up and forgave it. Man. And so now we are to show the same thing to our brothers and sisters. If someone trespasses against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Great. But now we're supposed to forgive others. We're supposed to forgive our brother. That's what love looks like. It's forgiveness. That's what the Lord did for us. That's what we do for others. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ooh. You mean there's a caveat to this that I didn't know about? Oh, I love the forgiveness of the Lord. I love that, man. That's great. My conscience is clear now. I have right standing with the Lord. But, oh, dude. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 18, verse 21, and I think that will kind of thought I had it marked on. Guess not. So we'll pick it up about verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times? Oh. And he thought he was doing pretty good there. Seven times? Yeah, all right. That sounds pretty right. I mean, how many times is somebody going to sin against you and they're going to ask forgiveness? No, forgive him about seven times. He says, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And I love this. And, you know, when you're talking about these parables, you know, these are hidden treasures that only the believers can understand. The unbeliever doesn't get the things that the Lord talks about here. You know, they may be able to acquiesce that okay, these words make sense, but to really make the application, only us believers can do that because it's discerned by the Holy Spirit. So if you can get these kind of things, guess what? The Spirit of God is working within you. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now this is talking about a bond servant here. You notice it said him, his wife, and his children. They were all his property. And he's talking about the bond servant here. Okay? He was proving himself to be, well, maybe not as lucrative as the master would have liked him to be. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Just like that. The Lord forgave our debt. How great a debt did we have? You know, I mean, a lot of people talk about they try to talk people into coming to know the Lord. But guess what, folks? If they're not burdened by their sin, you're wasting your time. You see, this is the call of the Lord. When somebody is burdened with their sin, when they can no longer live their lives because of the burden of sin, they need to get rid of this sin, then we give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they are born again if they accept such a thing. Until then, you know, there's a lot of people that accept Christ for a lot of things. There's a gospel out there that says, if you accept Jesus Christ, all of your problems will be taken care of. He's going to, you know, supply you with health and wealth and all manner of things if you just trust in Him. Give Him a chance, won't you? Won't you just give the Lord a chance? This is a false doctrine. Jesus Christ did not die for your prosperity. He did not die for your health. He died to take away the sin of the world. That's why He died. And it's that sin that needs to be taken care of because it's your sin that separates you from God. And that's what He did. And so that's why when we go into in our minds, that model of the temple, we see that altar of sacrifice. And we know that that sacrifice has been appeased because Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. And now we can go straight to the laver and wash. And we are washed by the water of the Word. And we are cleansed once again. And then we can enter into the tabernacle proper. And we see the light of the world, and we see the bread of life, and we see the altar of incense, which is the prayers of the saints, and standing before this ripped open veil and into the throne of God, wherein the Shekinah glory is looking down at the broken law and the blood that's on the mercy seat. And we can come before the throne room of God and ask for help in time of need. This is what the sacrifice of the Lord was about. It wasn't about being healed. It wasn't about being healthy. It's not being wealthy. It's not having a better house or a better car or a better job or a better wife or a better husband. It has nothing to do with any of those things because it's a spiritual journey. You shall be born again if you accept Jesus Christ because of the sin that you need removed. And it's as simple as that. No ifs, no ands, or no buts about it. That's it. But the same servant, get it? The same servant that was forgiven went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I mean, this should have marked something in his mind, because this is exactly what he said. Exactly what he said to his master. And what happened to him? He was forgiven. And now this guy comes, and he says the same thing, and looks to see what happens here. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Oh, wait a minute. You mean there's a response that I have to do? Because I've received this great mercy, I'm supposed to show this great mercy. You see? Wow. That's how love looks. That's what love looks like. Because they've asked you to forgive. You've asked the Lord to forgive. We now need to forgive those who asked us. But not just those that have asked us. For those who have not asked us. See, this is the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when Jesus died, he took away the sins of all the world. All of your sins, all of your neighbor's sins, the sins of all the world were taken away. And all we need to do is come before him. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Ooh, that's heavy duty. Now in Luke 17, he says, Take heed to yourself. If any brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again and say, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. This is what love looks like. This is what our Lord has done for us. The example. He forgives us our sins, so we should forgive others theirs as well. Now, he would say in Matthew, you know, love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you. This means unequivocally. Don't wait for them personally. Oh, I'm not going to forgive them until they ask me. Well, they've never asked me, so I don't really have to forgive them. Wrong. You should have the same heart as the one that you worship. Think about that. If your heart is hard and cold and unforgiving, then you're not worshiping the true and the living God. This is what he's talking about here. But if your heart is full of love and compassion and pity and forgiveness, then you're worshiping the true and the living God. This is how we know that we are in the fellowship. If we do those same things as Christ has done for us. Without reservation. And this is what we should be praying for. Lord, let me have your heart. Well, what does that mean? That means that I'm going to forgive without measure. For any reason. I mean, that's what he's kind of talking about. In 7 times for the same offense in one day. I mean, that's kind of weird. You know, I mean, I know my brother, when we were growing up, he used to do that. He'd come up to me and he'd punch me in the arm. And then he'd go, oh, sorry. And then he'd walk away, not sorry. and then I'd go to wallop him, and nope, I'm sorry. You know, and 7 times in a day. I counted them too. How many times? One more time, buddy. One more time. But you know, silliness like that, but you get the idea. How many times do we sin against the Lord, the same sin in a single day? You know, those thoughts that run through our head, the thoughts that we don't lay before the Lord. If we entertain them and act on them, that's sin, folks. That's sin. And when I say acting on them, I'm talking about in your mind plotting to do something in the vein of what it is that you're thinking about. You know, and I'm not going to call you out on it, but you can run that through in your own mind. Because here's the key. Here's the essence of it all. Judgment begins at the house of God. Okay? If you judge yourself, you won't have to worry about being judged. Because you've already done that. That's where judgment begins in the house of God, says. You know, it's talking about. It's in us. We're looking at ourselves and we're judging ourselves. Man, I'm a sinner. I'm a filthy sinner and I need the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to wash me. I need to be washed in the water by the Word as I've confessed my sin. Man, I need to be cleansed. Daily. Moment by moment. It isn't just a one-time thing. It's continuously. And even though we're walking with the Lord, we're still going to sin. So let's not kid ourselves. But we know where to go to get clean. We know that we're not perfect, and so we'll have compassion on those who are not as far along as we are. Oh, you're a new believer. You'll come to understand, my son. You know, I mean, we get all high and mighty and stuff. But the aspect is that if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, I pray that this scripture would indeed just, Lord, just hit home with us. Lord, let it go through our minds moment by moment, day after day, realizing that we are indeed sinners and need forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we read Your Word and we see the great mercy that You have dealt with us about. Lord, I pray that we would have that same heart of compassion, of pity, of mercy, of forgiveness, just as You have for us. Let us show that to others as well. And then we will be good and faithful servants, waiting for our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.